You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, since the first time, round six, 2013, the Bombers are on top of the ladder.
Pretty bloody good, eh? Oh, if we can stop the season now, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not the only one, but I think a lot of us are guilty out there from screenshotting the ladder and sending it off to a few people that may have discounted us in the past. But look, you know, it's obviously a first step in a long journey, as Brad Scott said. But you know, we've got to celebrate the little wins, as he said, and I did celebrate it pretty well last night.
I dare say some of those screenshots will find their way back to you in due course, mate. But yeah, we'll take the win while we'll get it.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, before we get into the game, let's go through some club news that happened, you know, in the week before the game was played. And let's start with, you know, a bit of a bewildering story, really, with all the change we've had. The Josh Marnie and Adrian Dodoro conflict. You know, we read that the two were hardly on speaking terms, and they now have to report through different avenues. And one that surprised me a little was that with Adrian Dodoro being on the selection committee, that's no longer a thing either.
Yeah, kind of troubling there because, you sort of think the recruitment bloke, picking the guys he wants in the side, you know, I guess you can see it both ways. Like, he's, I suppose, maybe outside of the actual training and whatever. So it might be able to provide a sort of outside observer perspective. But, I mean, you kind of see it as well as if he's picking the blokes that he's selected just to pump them up, you know, not to name names or anything, Jane, but, you know, Hams might fall into that category. it's kind of bewildering. You'd have your recruitment bloke on the selection panel.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, I could see him being there as an advisor, and obviously he doesn't solely pick the team, so he would have only been part of the committee.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is that as a list manager, he would know what triggers on people's contracts. You know, for example, if you play X amount of games, that triggers you for an extra contract, or, you know, a lot of the provisions on contracts he would be aware of.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he could have that kind of input still without being on the selection committee. And I guess that's how it'll go going forward. But it's still a bit troubling that, you know, we've read that there was a bit of bad blood. You know, we read that Marnie was on board with Xavier and Paul Brasher. And when that kind of dissolved, obviously, you know, if you fall on your sword and the people that you supported go, usually you do as well. But, you know, Josh has, you know, remained at the club, and, you know, must be said, he's highly credentialed. But, it's one thing to dislodge Adrian Dodoro from Essendon, that's for sure. That'll be a very hard task for him.
Yeah, I find it troubling on a number of fronts, Jame, whereas, you know, we've just come from a period of, you know, tumultuousness, really, like where, you know, all this, you know, people leaving the club and all the rest of it. And now to have this, I mean, it does sound a bit like sort of school children, you know, squabbling in the background, you know, not wanting to talk to each other. Like, in a professional environment, you'd want to hope that people are a bit more mature than that. You know, like, if you, even if you don't like someone, that's fine, but you still got to be professional and, you know, report through the appropriate mechanisms. If that hasn't been founding, that's pretty concerning. So, honestly, I don't think there's, from the outside looking, it doesn't look like there's anyone, you know, acting more appropriate than the other. If they're both acting like that, they can't speak to each other. My personal opinion, Jane, would be bugger on both of, because the club should be greater than any individual bickering.
Yeah, I found it interesting. Even Brad Scott mentioned in the presser prior to the game was that Craig Vozzo is assessing the situation, and he even used the words of, and he'll make the relevant changes if required. So to me, that sounds like watch this space. I expect there'll be some movement surrounding one or two of those people, and we'll see what evolves from that. We then got some fairly good news, mate, in regards to Peter Wright originally. I was pretty pumped up to see that Pete signed on for an additional 4 years. He's been fantastic for us since arriving at the club. And before I could, really enjoy, knowing that he was going to be with us for an additional 4 years, another tweet came up and said, "Oh, devastated for Peter. He's injured himself at training. It looks like a significant shoulder injury." And it's turned out to be the case, mate. And even Damien Barrett, who I don't hold as the greatest judge of football, he floated the idea that Peter Wright may miss the season due to the bone damage around his shoulder.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, we'll wait out for expert opinion before listening to Damien Barrett. Yeah, very disappointing, as you say, Jay Block. We were texting during the day, and he said, "Oh, yeah, Peter Wright signed on for 4 years. Outstanding result. That's fantastic." And then you sent through the injury thing. I thought, no, he's having a lend here. but sure enough, unfortunately, the nightmare came true. Yeah, and you feel sorry for Peter first and foremost. Like, he's put in a mountain of work from all reports. Everyone was saying how well he prepares and he's so diligent. Obviously, he's just come back of a best and fairest season, James, kicking over 50 goals for the year. Really in a side that has failed to present much of a workable sort of forward line in recent years, James. Got to be said. So to miss Peter Wright for an extended period is, like really disappointing. But yeah, as I say, first and foremost, thoughts with Peter Wright. And I'm glad the club's looked at it and have made the best decision they believe in Peter's long-term interest, not just a quick hope he'll be right and maybe we'll get him back sooner. Because you know how they've turned out historically, Jane, where we hope to nurse him through and then halfway through the season we go, actually, no, we need surgery. And they miss the whole season anyway. So, I'm sure Peter Wright will be supported by the club and look forward to getting him back when we do, Jane.
Well, that's a good point you make about historically we would have just even Brad said after the game, there was talk that we could get Pete back in 6 to 8 weeks if we taped it up the shoulder and nursed him through, as you said. But Brad made it pretty clear he doesn't operate like that. It's not his the way that he prefers. He'd rather them fully heal from that injury. So that's why he'll take the whatever's going to be best for the long term, for that player, he'll take that loss now in the hope that he'll be in a better place, when he's fully recovered. And we kind of heard that with Jake Stringer as well. Again in the presser, Brad made mention that Jake's actually medically fit to play. Like he could have played in the game against Awful. But he's not conditioned. He's not ready to play 120 plus minutes of football. So, in the past we just want the side on paper to read well. But if the output's not there, and mate, I'll go back to players like Will Snelling. Now, he was named many times last year. You just knew he wasn't right, and he's performance was, it matched that of being someone who's, trying to cover an injury. And, if we're gonna hold these high standards, which, again, he's had those conversations with Nick Cox and Zach Reed and said, "Look, I know you can probably get going in 3 or 4 weeks, but you've had stress injuries, so I'm going to make you wait 8 to 12." And it may frustrate the player, but if it puts him in better stead long term, then that's his main interest.
Yeah, no, that's the best thing I see from Brad Scott. He takes a real long-term view. Like at the start, he's told us fans, like giving us the expectation management that, he's not here for quick wins. He's interested in long, like setting up long-term success. That's why he signed a 5-year deal. And it's interesting to read that Jake Nile article recently, James, where he spoke to exactly that. He effectively told the club, "Look, if you want someone to tell you that we can turn this around quickly, and I'll get you shooting up the ladder, really fast, then I'm not your bloke." Because, what he saw was that a lot of development needed doing at the Essendon Football Club. And it went into quite a bit of detail. And I think one thing was really telling, James, was that, I suppose, anecdote about, buddy, what's his name?
I kind of McKenna.
Connor McKenna. About our when he came back, when he's coming back from Ireland, he effectively told everyone, "Look, I'm happy to come back to the AFL, just anywhere except for Essendon." And that's pretty damning to hear,
Very
James.
much so. Yeah.
But then he's obviously gone into the reasons about that. Okay, why is it? For whatever reasons, and from that. Brad Scott's rightly reasoned, we've got a problem here. And he wants to rebuild, I suppose, the foundations of the club. So football first and all the rest of it, and developing our young list and all that sort of stuff. But he's also interested in redeveloping the fabric of the club, James. Getting blokes like Paddy Ryder back to the fold and look,
And spending a lot of time on development too. We've hired many development coaches to try and fast track, as you say, focus on an Indigenous connection, which was abandoned for a long time, it felt.
So like all of that speaks to this this long-term approach he's taking, whether it's with injuries, whether it's with development. And that to me gives me great confidence. And we've had a win on the weekend, James, and that's great, but the losses will come. And when they do, then we'll know to temper, our disappointment or frustration that we might feel at that time, with the knowledge that he's looking after our long-term interests. And I think, that's to be lauded and respected, because, that's what's really going to help us in the long term.
Yeah, so we get to the game now, mate. It was a great way to start the game with the first couple of goals of the match. Nothing like being at the MCG, and it's been a while. So rocking up there, it was certainly more Hawthorn supporters than Essendon, it felt. Especially just walking around the G and so forth. But gee, as the game went on, you could hear how vocal we can be. And I just feel like that's the connection missing, that we experienced, and I guess it's showing our age, but in the 90s and all that, and even in the 80s before that, like, Essendon fans were just so vocal. I think we've been so shell-shocked. Been so many games that I've been to in the last 5 to 10 years where it just felt like I was at the theatre, mate. Like, the crowd was bereft of any real high energy, and I really enjoyed Sunday. Obviously, it's always enjoyable having a win, but I just felt that Bomber crowd just lifting. And as we'll talk a bit later, mate, when Tipper came on, and that gave you goosebumps.
Yeah, it would, James. Perhaps the crowd reflect the energy levels of our coaches. As you say, the like that those first couple of goals, got us up and about. Mason Bredman, that Massive 50. Like he had a couple of pings at
Now, as I say, you got a cider.
it. had a cider. Fortunate enough, the umpire said, no, go back. Because Shield, I think he encroached on the zone. And so he.
Well, he tried to shepherd the mark, and obviously in the new interpretation, you can't do that.
No, so I was fortunate. So he had his cider, as you say, and then set sail with an absolute ripper from outside 50, which is fantastic. And then, Jai Caldwell bobbed up with a clever little goal, Jane.
Yeah, this is on the back of Sam Draper. Yeah, really, we love Sam's energy. But he hit the ball forward, tried to get his boot to it, and still pushed the ball forward. And Jai was quick enough to jump on it, and get the goal. And it just felt like it was a really good start. But one of Essendon's battles in recent years, and well, I guess in the last 10 to 15 years, is being able to stop sides when they get a few goals. And we then witnessed Hawthorn get the next four.
Like especially to I suppose a couple of younger players. I mean, Green and then Carl Amon. But then Chad Wingard really turned back the clock, Jam. And love him or hate him, but that was a ripper of a goal from Chad Wingard. And like we know how sort of athletic McGrath is. Wingard turned him inside out to spin around, kick it through, and that seemed to really get the Hawks up and about. And like you say, Jane, when that's happened, there has been historically, like we've dropped our heads, and they've been able to get a run on. And certainly that could have happened. We saw Bruce have a couple of pings at goal, missed one, which I thought we were very lucky at, because he would have kicked that 9 times out of 10. But that second one, of course, went through. But fortunately, Jai Menzies steadied us up, and got a goal himself.
That was a really good handball by Harrison Jones too, to put it in the space of Jai Menzies, and it was really good how, because some of the things about Harry Jones has been in the contest, because he's lightly framed and so forth. He had to wear a tackle and be able to handball it, and that was a really smart play, I thought, by Harry.
It was showed some good vision, and that sort of steadied us up going into the quarter time break there. So we were down 3 goals 119 to the Hawks, 4 goals 5 24. As I said, pretty fortunate they didn't kick a couple more at us. But then we started that second quarter, Jam, with a couple of scoring shots ourselves, with Zachy Merritt and Jai Menzies trying to get involved before big Sammy Draper, kick run through.
Yeah, you gotta love Sam. That's the way he goes about it. And when he kicked the goal, he's just like he really generates some real energy. And you hear him say, "Let's go!" Like he's just really trying to pump up the team, and he does a great job of that.
Certainly does, mate. And as you say, Harrison Jones then bobbed up, took a nice mark. Was he probably about 30, 35 out? I think from this one, went back and slotted it. It's a beautiful kick.
Yeah, beautiful and an awesome way to respond, to after Hawthorn got out to 16 points, to get those the next couple felt like we were back in the game.
Yeah, certainly did. But then you saw a classy goal from Jeff from the Hawks, for Sam Wiedemann imposed himself in the game, Jane, taking a mark and kicking truly.
And not long afterwards, it was a real purple patch for him because he took another mark and went back and kicked another goal and had a third shot at goal, mate, after a tackle in the from the ruck.
I thought that was excellent from Wiedemann. Like he'd been presenting all day, and to lay that big tackle and be rewarded for it was excellent. And I loved, I mean, even though he missed the shot, for him to go back with a bit of confidence to take that shot, I thought was really good. Now, that'll kicking a couple of goals at his new club will hold him in good stead. He tend to quieten down a bit from there, but no, I thought that was still good from him. In between there, we'd had a couple of aciders from Owen Davey Jr. He'd excited the crowd, had a couple of shots at goal that just didn't make it through before finally, he got a mark from, well, about 45 out, had to kick from about 50, and I thought, oh, there's no way he's got the leg from here, James. And he went back and bloody kicked it. Beautiful goal.
That's fantastic, and what a moment. As again, you felt the energy of the crowd. Really loved that.
Yeah, and you like, I don't know if you saw it at the ground, Jane, but Froggy Davey and Paddy Ryder sitting in the crowd there. Old Froggy was, sort of heart and mouth, almost couldn't look. But to see it go through, you saw a massive smile on his face. Everyone was getting around him. Saw Jaden Davey in the crowd as well, getting real excited for his brother. I thought it was absolutely fantastic to end the half. And that put us up by 16 to finish the half, 8 goals, 5, 53 to the Hawks, 5 goals, 7, 37.
The mood was different, because we absorbed Hawthorn having the run of play and really owned the second quarter largely. And as you will discuss soon, mate, in the third quarter, it was total dominance.
Was mate, started off with a nice goal to Will Setterfield. Now he'd had a good game so far. Like he hadn't starred, you'd say, but he was getting enough of the footy, and certainly, he shows good vision. Being able to release players with a nice handball. His kick's solid enough. So to get a snap at goal and for it to roll through, James, was absolutely fantastic. And then not long after, we saw a big Jordan Ridley find himself in the forward line, and be able to slot it.
Yeah, his first goal in his 69 games of at Essendon, and he hadn't kicked a goal, but that changed. And they asked him after the game, mate, what it was like to kick a goal, and he said, "I don't even know what I was doing down there at the end of the ground, but I just had a ping at it, and it went through." So he's a skilled player, Jordan Ridley, and I'm really happy for him. And you can just see, it's funny the awareness, isn't it? Because every Essendon player went to Jordan after he kicked that goal. Like, it's like they knew that he'd never kicked one.
Yeah, that was really good. They chose and you saw the same when Davey kicked his goal, and where all the team was getting around him. And I think that's something that's certainly been lacking. Where you'd see blokes kick their first goal of AFL footy, and about three people would go up there and say, "Well done, mate." Whereas this one was the whole side just about got around him, and which is great to see. And then, as you say, Jane, that purple patch really kicked in. Archie Perkins just, inserted himself in the game. Kicking it, he'd kicked behind previously, but then bobbed up with a couple of beautiful goals, which really lit it up, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm just so excited for the player that Archie Perkins will come. He's just fantastic. He's kicking, mate. It's so good, and he's got so much power off one step. He's a powerfully built player, as we know, and he can, like, a player can try to tackle him. He can just shrug him off usually, and we've noticed that as he, in the first two seasons with us, but as he's getting stronger each pre-season, he'll do that even better. We saw that, two goals very quick, and like, his kicking is just fantastic. One leg, as I said earlier, he just hits his target. I've got a lot of confidence that he's going to become an A-grade player.
As you say, strong through the hips, just shrugging off tackles. Absolutely brilliant to see from the young bloke. Then we saw Sammy Draper kick a goal, Jay, but bloody hell, he makes me nervous. He took that mark, just outside of the square, and rather than waiting to go back. He thought, bugger this, I'm running straight in. He didn't want a set shot. But he basically twisted himself around the post chain to kick that through, like on the outside of the leg. Through for a goal. And I thought, bloody hell, don't break yourself doing that, mate. But it was great to see. And he, as you say, he generates such excitement.
And yeah, he did the running man power as
Yeah.
he's marching back to towards the square. And as I said, that's just the energy that he has. And as you say, mate, we don't want to see our good stock get injured. But I think he probably knows too. That'd probably be a difficult kick for him if he had to go back,
Yeah.
try and snap that on the. So I think that was his best option, and he took it.
Yeah, absolutely did. And then not long after that, we saw Zach Merritt, who'd been bloody, he'd been tagged the whole game, obviously, but he worked his backside off to keep getting involved in the contest, and he ended up bobbing up for a mark just inside 50. He looked absolutely stuffed, so he handed the footy off to Mason Redmond, who just went bang and kicked his second.
He really worked his way through that tag, didn't he? And one thing, remember, one of the knocks on Zach Merritt was that, he could be one-sided in that, he was an offensive player. You can see it's been a real focus for him to really stamp his authority on the defensive end as well. And the amount of times he chased or tackled and, as soon as he hit the ground, he bounced back up. And I'm sure that's why he was so exhausted after taking that mark. And he handballed to the right person to do the job, as we saw Mason get his second.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. And that took us to the end of the third. Dominant quarter there. So 14 goals, 8.92 to the Hawks, 5 goals, 9.39. Only scored the 2 points in that quarter, the Hawks, which is great effort from our defensive lads. And that's one thing I really want to shout out, James. Like our defensive side of the game was so good. Like throughout the game, you just noticed that our positioning was so much better. Like you didn't see what we'd seen the last few seasons where opposition side would have, 5, 10 meters each and every single play. Like they'd have blokes streaming through and our guys would be dragging behind. You didn't see that at all. And even they talked
No,
about
and
like they talked about us wanting to lock down the footy our forward half. It was difficult for the Hawks to work through getting it out of our 50, James. It was just so good to see. Like they had to take the outside option, and so many times we were able to intercept the footy because they were trying to pick off kicks that we were in a better position to take out. It was great stuff.
And we really slowed them down, when the game started in that first term, they were getting a lot of runs from half back, overlap runs, and that's how they got a lot of their goals, actually. But what I liked is that we, as our defensive pressure turns up the notches, they almost were spooked into playing a slow game. And when you try to be too precise, your margin for error generally becomes bigger. And they turned over the ball a lot just from the perceived pressure. And fantastic how our backs fix the work as well. Like some of our unsung players, I thought Kelly had one of his best games for the club. Without being a star, he just works really hard and he does what. You don't want him to have 30 possessions or 25 possessions from half back. He's not that kind of player, but he certainly knows how to lock down his defender and make the afternoon pretty tough for him.
Certainly does, mate. No, he did well there. So going into the fourth, we were beating them soundly, but they got a couple of goals through Luke Bruce and Blake Hardwick before John Menzies was able to bob up and kick his second of the game. Which is great to see. And then soon after, we saw Harry Jones get subbed out. Apparently for to Brad Scott, he'd had his sort of ankle issues throughout the preseason, so I thought I'll just manage him minutes wise. And then on came the great man, Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody.
Yeah, what a great moment. Being at the ground, mate, the commotion that happened when he started to head towards the forward line, it just built and built and built. And, I saw Hawthorn people they obviously didn't know that. Well, it seems like they did not know the love that we have for him. And I was like, what's this? It was almost like they were bewildered with what was taking place. And it just, as I said, every Essendon supporter must have voiced their approval. And it just got so loud. And, we were willing the ball to end up in his hands, because he just wanted to see, him kick a goal or be on the, be on the back of a brilliant play. And we got what we wanted.
We did, mate. We saw that first entry from Zach Merritt. I mean, obviously he was looking for Tibber. Didn't find him. That was the one that went to Menzies. But then, second time lucky. McDonald tipped Woody, took a mark about 40 meters out. Almost straight in front, James. Went back and slotted it. And I mean, it must have been bedlam at the ground, James, because even just hearing it at home brought real a tingle to the spine, and you just love to see it, how everyone has got around him.
It was just goosebumps, and that's one of the great things about being at the footy. That togetherness of supporting the same team. You might not know any of the people around you, but when you barrack for the same team and something great happens, just smiles and you just see the sheer joy on people's faces. It does warm the soul, mate. And, not long after that goal, we saw Waller take another mark, on a tighter angle, and the crowd just erupted again. It was like,
I mean, he wasn't able to get the goal this time, but it was great to hear the crowd get around him. And then we saw the ex-skipper, Dyson Heppel, bob up for a goal, James. And I thought he actually played a serviceable game, James. I think, if he was still captain and he had the same game, he probably would have been lambasted because he was sort of quieter. But there were moments of that game where he really stood up and he showed his experience and skill. And certainly got his right rewards with that goal there, James. It was great for him to be there in the moment. And then Archie Perkins, who continued to be dangerous, bobbed up and kicked his third.
We spoke about him earlier about how much class he has. But I think he's going to make the opposition very nervous. He's going to be a hard man to stop. And back to your thoughts about Heppel. There was a couple of times where, watching players overrun him from the opposition. That's one of his areas that, obviously he's limited athletically against some of these younger blokes who can just boom past him. But he's going to have a lot of experience. And they said he took a mark that, he had to really take contested. It was a contested grab. And, I think he's important still to be in the side because, his former role, but also he's a real leader of the club.
Yeah, he certainly is that, Jane. Then after that, we saw Sammy Durham, who'd been cracking in all day, Jane. Look, he probably wasn't as clean as he could be in some moments, but geez, he goes hard and makes his presence felt. So he's another one who was able to bob up, kick a goal, which was well deserved. He's such a good young player, James, and he's exactly the kind of bloke you reckon Brad Scott would love, just because he's hard out of attitude and want for the contest. So it's great to see him kick that goal. The Hawks finished out with a couple of sort of compensation goals with Bruce and Hardwick. That was the story of the night, James. So we ended up taking it out by just shy of 10 goals. So 19 goals, 10, 124 to the Hawks, 9 goals, 11, 65. And winners are grinners, mate, and certainly no more than when you finish the round on top of the ladder.
Yeah, and look, that was somebody mentioned since the last 20 years, the team that finished top of the ladder in round one has only missed the finals once, mate. So we have mozzed ourselves a little, but
Essendon says, "Hold my
but
beer."
no, it was fantastic the way we've done it, and started off with a win. Look, it was seen as a winnable game. But I think with the news with Peter Wright, I don't think too many people would have predicted the ease of the win. But as you say, there was a lot to like, and a lot around that was our defensive setup, which has been such a weakness. That's been fantastic. And yeah, it's just a real joy, being back at the G, watching the Bombers have a big win.
Yeah, absolutely great stuff. And for those playing at home, so last season, I think our highest goal tally was 17, if that's not wrong, James.
Yeah, against the Roos, it was 17 goals, and we kicked 19 in round one of this year. So that's got to be a huge tick of we're not going to be playing boring chip football. It may leave us open, but we're going to be working hard defensively as well to limit the score, and we did that well against Hawthorn. And the next challenge is Gold Coast Suns at Marvel.
That's it, James. And I guess the other pleasing thing from that is we had 13 individual goal kickers. So we weren't relying on one or two blokes to kick bags for us, which is another pleasing sign.
Another thing that took my eye, mate, was Dave Barham, who's really been the catalyst for a momentum of change, and he was sitting next to Lee Matthews, and he looked very happy, mate. And so he should be. It hasn't been an easy period. He's made a few blues along the way, but I bet you this is what he had in mind, as opposed to the club we would have been if we had a stayed status quo.
As you say, Jamie, well deserved. He's taken his whacks along the way. But ultimately, he has I suppose helped the club get to where we are right now with a more assured plan of the future, a football focus, first and foremost. And I guess the other thing, James, is re-engagement with the membership and our supporter base. He would have been elated at the hearing the crowd, seeing Waller out there like all the rest of us. And definitely he'll I'm sure he would have enjoyed the victory as we all did.
Yeah, there were 68,000 there yesterday. And our membership base prior to the game, I believe, was 65,000. It'll be interesting to see how many people sign on this week on the back of that, because I reckon there will be a few phone calls coming into the hangar. People wanting to be part of it. And let's hope it's a true resurgence.
Absolutely.
All right, mate. Well, let's have a break. When we come back, we'll do our Don's Cast medal votes. And we've just got some news surrounding the AFLW as well. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, we will go to our Don's Cast medal votes. You can easily lead us off, so I'll let you go again, mate.
Beautiful, mate. Well, this one's a bit of a tough one. I've got to say, like for good reasons, because I kind of felt throughout the whole game, James, that there was no one that was head and shoulders above the rest. I kind of felt like everyone played their role, had their moments, and yeah, really contributed to the win. Yeah, if we talk about, Wiedemann, for example, like kicked his couple of goals, but then sort of petered out. But we didn't rely on someone. Like they kept contributing the whole day. So to find five, I found a difficult task. So I dare say there'll be a lot of people who don't agree with my assessment, but that's all it is, just my subjective assessment on how I saw it, and in terms of impact, not necessarily in terms of possessions or dream time points or anything like that, dream team points rather. So I'll go for the bottom, and this might surprise a few, but for one vote, James, I went for Archie Perkins. Now he kicked his three goals three, which is absolutely phenomenal. But I will say, like, he was it was pretty active in the the third and fourth quarter. But I probably didn't see a whole lot of him beforehand, except for there was a play where we basically went from end to end of the ground, and he kicked a couple of beautiful passes, to blokes leading into a position. And that's another thing that's been missing from the side for so long. Like, too often we've kicked to some, like, on top of someone's head, where they'll have to stop and no doubt get teamed up by a couple of people. But he demanded, like, the player run into that position, which I thought was fantastic. So showed really good vision. So I thought deserving at least one vote. Two votes actually went for Will Sitterfield, Jane. I thought one thing that I really loved from his game, six tackles, Jane. Which, real point of difference in our midfield. With that defensive effort, and not only that, he was racking up the footy. He racked up 25 positions in the end, had eight score involvements, which is absolutely fantastic to see. It was sort of everywhere. Great with the hairballs. Some nice link-up play. 486 meters gained for the day as well, if you don't mind. With 10 marks to go along with that. So a real point of difference, a great game from Will Sitterfield, for worthy of the two. Three votes, James actually went for Zach Merritt. Now, he was held very tightly in the first half of the game. I think he had only probably about 30 possessions or so in that first half. Ended up with a 29. And what I found particularly impressive with his game, James, wasn't the disposals, like, because when he kicked it beautifully. But it was more that he worked through that tag and showed a lot of defensive intent. Like, there were times where he was just throwing himself at the bloke with a footy to try and win that back for Essendon. Done really well. Had his usual bunch of clearances, laid a few tackles. Kicked well, had three goal assists, James. So got pretty dangerous as well. So I thought a fantastic game from the newly minted captain, and really led from the front. I guess that leading by example thing for Zach Merritt goes to the fact that he was held, but he worked through it for the whole game, all four quarters. And that's what you kind of want to see from your captain, to still have an influence even when things aren't always going your way. Four votes, James, I went for Mason Redmond. I thought his defensive efforts were fantastic, but also his ability to slingshot us forward. Absolutely brilliant. Some great passing. Out of his 24 disposals, James used that leg on 22 occasions, which is absolutely outstanding. Went at about 80% disposal efficiency, so it didn't hit the target every time, but it did do a lot of damage with that. 472 meters gained. Six marks and two big roosting goals, I thought was fantastic intent and effort from Mason Redmond, so worthy of the four. Five votes again, perhaps surprising to some, but Jordan Ridley was my best on. 20 disposals and kicked it, James. 95% disposal efficiency, so absolutely brilliant with ball in hand. His assuredness with the pill, James, was great to see, and you saw it so many times, not only down back, but when he flowed up the ground a little bit, just the amount of times he was able to scoop up the ball, like, with one hand. You talk about buckets, James. Like, this bloke yeah, was just picking up the ball at will, so cleanly, like at pace as well, and then to deliver it, just masterfully was great to see. Eight big marks, kicked that beautiful goal as well. And I thought, even when things were weren't going away, the Hawks were starting to get on top of us. He was one. He stood up and helped marshal that defense. So I thought a fantastic game from Jordan Ridley. So that's my five. How about yourself, Jane?
Yeah, well, I said it was always hard when you have so many well-performed players. So, my first one was Mason Redmond. I gave him the five votes. I just felt like he was such a influence on the ground. He's so reliable down back. But he has these overlapping runs where, as you say, mate, he can get on the back of it, and I know the opposition will be awake to him. They don't want him to be able to just run past and get a handball and kick a goal. But he's more than just a flashy player like that. He's actually quite strong at the contest. Takes a lot of important marks, and I thought he had a great game. It personally, and for me, I just think that if we go forward, that back line needs general and. For me, Mason Redmond could be our next general in that part. I gave four votes to Archie Perkins, mate, and I did hear your explanation why you gave him one, and I'm not saying I was right. I just felt like he's just such a good performer. His kicking was genuinely elite at times, and be able to kick three goals, leading goal kicker in the game. I just felt like he could have really kicked a couple more, maybe he missed a couple as well. So, but I gave him the four votes. Gave three to Darcy Parrish. He found a heap of the footy. We know Darcy's very good at doing that, but he's just the way that he works hard. Some people say, oh, look, he just looks about, easy hand pass out and, to gather the stats. But to me, I don't see that. I see him working really hard to be in the contest and get us that clearance. And him and Zach Merritt work really well together. That's why I gave him the three. I gave two to Brandon Zerk-Thatcher. I thought he was really good, mate. He started with a few mares actually. He did this handball directly to Hawthorn. It could have been really hurtful. And then he went for a kick that wasn't there and turned the ball over really early in the game. But the great thing about this is that we've got to give him the full season down back. I just think he's going to get better as he gets more games into him. And he's just a competitor, mate. He doesn't make it too easy for the defender. He goes hard and look, he'll make some mistakes and he's prone to do that. But I'll take the good over the bad with him. And I gave one vote to Jordan Ridley and look, he could have been deserving of more as well. But to see Jordan enjoying this footage, because last year I just felt like he looked like someone who's bereft of confidence. I think they tried to make him too much of a key position player and took a lot away of his skill and a lot of his attributes that he uses with his skill. He was tempered from doing that. So I thought he played a really good, game in round one. And he's another one of those backline players that are going to be so important for us.
Yeah, bloody oath, Jane. Beautiful. All right. Well, that's our first round votes. I will tally them up. So from the bottom, we've got Zerk Thatcher and Setterfield on two votes. Each on three votes apiece, we got Parrish and Merritt. Five votes, we got Archie Perkins. Ridley on six. And out in front at this stage, we got Mason Redmond on nine Doncaster Medal votes.
Yeah, good start. And there's a lot of apologies that need to go out because
Yeah,
there's some
bloody oath.
really good players out there who missed out. But yeah, no, really good game to to open the season. We've maybe before we go to buy out the numbers, I thought we'd start with some AFLW news. And today the club had let go five of our inaugural team members.
Yeah, they have made quite a few changes that we saw. So one of the prominent members of that was Federica Frew, who some of you will remember starred in our VFLW premiership season. But unfortunately had I suppose an unsuccessful AFLW season. She was let go by the club. As too was Eloise Ashley Cooper, Caitlin Sargent, Georgia Borg, and Megan Ryan.
And Megan Ryan was brought in because of the injury to Georgia Borg, I think. So that's five players that depart the club. But we know in recent weeks we've added a few too, mate. Is it Brooke Brown from North Melbourne was one of their high draft picks. So we've been able to snare her as a defender, which was one of our weaknesses in our inaugural season was our backline.
Yep.
Obviously, the club's looking to improve that. There's a couple of other signings too, right?
Certainly are, mate. So we brought on Cody Jacques from was he Richmond, I think she was.
Yeah, she was. Yep.
As well as Brooke Walker, brought her across from Carlton. And I think we traded pick nine
Yeah.
for Brooke to shore up our defense. And I think it's fantastic. That was the one area that really we were lacking in, Jane, you have to say, because our forward line was pretty good, our midfield was pretty decent, but our back line really needed shoring up. So the club has seen that and acted on it, which is fantastic to see. I'll be really looking forward to how, like, I suppose the rest of the draft goes. As I understand it currently, James, we're just working off quick math. Like, if we've dropped five, brought in three, we've still got two positions available. So I'll be looking forward to the rest of how the list shapes up. But based on our first season, James, if now we've shored up our defense and hopefully worked on cohesion in other areas, should be another exciting season ahead.
Now we had the VFL boys. They had a practice match against Box Hill. That was a tight game, mate. There was 11 senior players playing in that team, and there was it was a tight contested game for most of it. Pat Voss kicked his fourth goal to put us up 76-73. Unfortunately, the Box Hill Hawks ended up kicking the last three or four of the game and ran out pretty comfortable winners. But great to hear Pat Voss really putting his hand up, especially with the loss of Peter Wright. We may need someone to kick in a few more goals for us, mate. So I'm sure he must be making a case for himself. Apparently Nick Hine played really well. My information, he's been told to work on the defensive side of his game. In that he needs to show that he's not just a gambling defender where he just runs off his opponent and leaves his opponent then vacant in the goal square to kick in many goals, which we saw, I must say, mate, a few times last year. So I think that's an education thing for Nick. And look, at his best, I think he's deserving of a spot in our side. Obviously, Brad wants to see some improvement from there. We saw Mac Welty come back and get through his minutes and appeared to get through with no injury. So he's on the comeback trail, mate, from I think it was a calf injury. So hopefully, he can get a. I'm not sure if he's in the selection mindset at the moment because it's going to be hard to drop anyone from that side, mate. Considering how they played, but he's another one. Will Snelling, obviously, a player that plays, many senior games. He's had to work his way through the VFL. Any other players that you're interested in, mate? And there, Ben Hobbs was another one too, mate. Apparently, he got a fair bit of the footy and, showed his, combativeness of trying to win the footy. And, there's a bit of a knock sometimes on his disposal, but he's certainly a hard worker.
Yeah, I mean, I guess then the other one is Kane Baldwin. He's one who's we've tried him down back. So I don't know if you heard about how his game went, James.
Yeah, I believe he's very serviceable. And he's going to be used. Yeah, I've heard again. Brad Scott mentioned that he wants to have a good look at him down back. He actually did quite well against the Saints, mate. And when he came on, like in the first game, especially against Gold Coast, actually did well on Levi Casbolt. So, yeah, no, interesting to see that. Yeah, especially with the Peter Wright injury, I thought, I wonder if that they reassess that. If they look for a bigger target up forward. Depending on the mobility of him, would that be an option for him? But at the moment, while we wait for Zach Reed and Nick Cox to get back up and going, and James Stewart for that matter, we are a bit light on in our defence, aren't we?
Certainly are, mate. So no, it's like it's good to see a few blokes developing that side. Obviously, we're hoping on the return from injury from like Cox and Reed, these sorts of guys. But it's good to see we're at least looking at that these sort of big defenders. Yeah, if Kane Baldwin and is coming through and up forward, we've got the likes of Paddy Voss. I guess it's good, blokes are pushing for spots and when you're kicking four goals, you're starting to beat down the door, James, and he's done that in the last two practice matches, or at least kicked three,
Yeah.
if not four.
I think he's kicked 9 goals in the 3 games. So this is pretty consistent. I think he's kicked 4, 3, and 2. He'd have to be a consideration, surely. And he actually looked quite good in the Gold Coast game, mate, when he came on. Like it looked like he really did have some tricks that looked good on the in Essendon colours on the in the big stage. So and it'll be interesting to see how long we make Jake Stringer wait, considering Brad Scott said he's medically fit. How long do they want to condition him before putting him back into senior footy? Apparently Tex Wanganeen did some nice things. Obviously, he's still learning his craft largely. And with our crumbing forwards at the moment, mate, it's going to be a hard one to get into, but it's great to hear that he's improving. And just a little bit of a knock. Apparently, Nick Bryan had a pretty quiet day, in the ruck. So he's been with us for, well, it must be 4 or 5 years now, mate. So he's going to, ruckmen do take longer. But I would think this is the year he'd want to start heading towards more senior footy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's certainly got a lot of capability, James. Like he's a really good user of the footy for a ruckman. But I unfortunately I think that perhaps the aggressive intent and physical size is and at that and just making himself, I suppose imposing himself on the game, James. That's probably what's lacking from his game currently, because he's certainly got all the ability in the world. But it's just being able to put it out there. So hopefully he gets a big season to work on his craft, because there's definitely a player in there.
And the other player, mate, was Rhett Montgomery, who we selected. He came, has a bit of a bolter, mate, from he's a bit more mature aged, but he's very very reliable mark, and They said, don't be surprised if you play some senior footy this year, especially if there's any injuries down back.
Yep.
So he might be one to keep an eye out for.
Beautiful. Always good to hear.
All right. Well, the other player, mate, who missed out on selection this week, he was the emergency, was D'Ambrosio. I'm sure he must be very close to a game of footy. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes into the senior side or has to go back to VFL too, because he's a very skilled player. Maybe a little bit undersized, when you look at some of our other defenders. But
Yep.
I just think that he's one that we should have another look at soon.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you said, mate, it's finding those spots in the senior side, because it's certainly hotly contested.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's have another break, mate. When we come back, we're going to go by the numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast. And as a feature of our show, we always do by the numbers. So let's start with number one, mate, Andy McGrath. And what were your thoughts on his game?
Yeah, sort of a interesting game from Andy for mine. I don't think he starred, but neither did he go backwards. I thought he went pretty good at the contest. His disposal certainly looked a lot more assured, which is probably a result of going down back, where he seems much more comfortable, James. Rack up the 25 disposals. But certainly, had four intercept possessions and five score involvements. Kicked the ball fairly well, so went at 84% disposal efficiency, James, and five contested possessions. Didn't star, but played his role for mine.
Yeah, I thought he was good, without being outstanding, as you say. And I think that's his spot, mate. And I'm glad the club identified that. Just because he's number one draft pick doesn't mean you can make him a midfielder.
Yep.
And I think he can be a really good small defender, who's got that run as well. So probably not a highlight of his game on the weekend, but I reckon he'll be one of those ones who overlap runs and really hurts the opposition. He's got the running and capability to do that. And he seemed to hold up the back line pretty well. We know he's our vice captain now. So he'll be doing a lot of talk out there trying to, keep the guys up and ready for the next contest.
Yeah, beautiful.
Sam Draper. Kicked a couple of goals, mate. And again, you never look at the ruckman and look at his stats and go, well, that's massive. Like, he only had the eight disposals, which was probably a little bit of a surprise. But when you see seven kicks and a couple of goals and only one mark, that's surprising too, mate. But Sam is just a workhorse. And like if he can get a couple of goals, just keep giving us a contest, I think that's going to be his go.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I do. Sometimes you look at these stats and you think, "What? How does that work?" Because of his eight possessions, James, he had nine contested. No, but he had six score involvements, and I think, like you say, James, like his stats don't tell the story, because he certainly seemed to have a bit more impact than the eight disposals would suggest. Certainly, two goals led to that. I will say, though, that against Lloyd Meek, I would have hoped Draper would have had a bit more dominance. But I mean, he's a young ruckman still, with a bit of development to go. A lot of it still is imposing himself on the game. Still performed well for us. But he would have been happy to have Phillips there in support. But solid game from Sammy Draper.
Darcy Parrish, well, I gave votes to, mate, and he had the 37 disposals. 22 kicks, 15 handballs, four marks. But he just, only the one tackle. So I think that's an area Das could probably do, maybe watch a bit of Zach Merritt.
Yep.
Try and put that defensive pressure out of the midfield because it can't all be about collecting disposals. But yeah, I thought he was really good on the day. And, yes, he gets a lot of handball receives and so forth, but yeah, he's always at the feet of the contest and he knows how to exit out of there pretty quick.
Certainly does, mate. Talk about being at the foot of the contest. 13 clearances, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really worked hard to get that footy for us. I don't know, I think he's probably a victim of his own success, mate. Like, you rack up that kind of footy, you have the kind of influence he has, and I suppose I just look at it and go, oh, that's a typical Darcy Parish game. Like, whereas anyone else would probably be singing their praises. So probably a bit hard done by there, Darcy Parish. One thing I found really impressive rather from his game, James, was his ability to use his left foot. Previously, if he wasn't able to get it on his right, then he didn't know where the footy was going to go, really. I mean, even on his right foot, he didn't know where it was going to go. But whether he was forced to kick on his left because the opposition had done some work on him, but in any case, he used his leg to good effect. Like, he wasn't, splitting the eye of the needle or anything like that, but he was kicking effectively, and making pretty good use of it. I mean, he went at 76% efficiency from 37 disposals, Jane. I thought he'd done fairly well. It got us looking dangerous as well. Had the 9 score involvements, to rack up 18 contested disposals all up was a fantastic effort. So well done to Darcy Parish.
Yeah, it's a big year for Das because it's his free agent year, mate. So Brad Scott said that he's not going to put the pressure on Das to sign, earlier rather than later. Just let Das know the vision and hopefully he comes out with the outcome that he signs on to be a Bomber again. But yeah, good game by Das and Parrish. Cole Langford, mate, how did you assess his game?
I thought he started slow, Jane. Honestly, there were parts of the game, particularly like when he started down back, I thought, bloody hell, like he had a couple of clangers, you'd have to say. But from that, he really picked himself up, Jane, and became a bit of a decent cog for us. Took 10 marks, which is really important. Got the ball, moving our way to good effect. Had 6 score involvements, 4 intercept possessions. I thought he played quite a serviceable game in the end.
Yeah, I hadn't really seen him used full time down back, and he played most of that game defensively, and I thought he was really important for us in the end because he stopped a lot of Hawks' attack from his marking strength, and uses the ball pretty well. He went at 73%, so out of 22 disposals, so I thought he was pretty good on the day, and yeah, the new position for him and. He's still got the ability to push forward when we need a goal or so, but obviously Brad's talked about wanting to play the players in their best position. He obviously identified Coles as playing a defence role. Then we had Jai Caldwell, mate. We saw him get injured in the St Kilda game on pre-season, so it was great that he was able to rebound. Now, stat-wise, he's not someone that you look at, 16 disposals, 9 kicks, 7 handball, 2 mark, 0 tackle. But he used the ball at 94%, so he was using the footy well. But I just felt a couple of times, especially on that goal of Carl Amon, he looked really labouring running behind him. So I'd hope that's not injury related, but it looked like he was a little bit unfit compared to the way that Amon was running on the ground. Now, it's at Amon's speed, but I could witness from the sideline, mate, that he was really, really labouring. He was busting the gut to chase, and I'm sure that be something that he'll work on as the season goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Look, there were times where I thought he was a bit slow to the contest. But like at the end of the day, you look at him and he just reads the play so well, James. Like yes, his stat sheet, it doesn't read amazing, but still 16, pretty bloody useful disposals where he kicked that clever goal up forward with half an inch of space. The six score involves to get other people in the game. Later had a few clearances. So he does get involved. I guess his next evolution is that more fitness, getting involved in more contests up the ground and becoming a bit more involved. But overall, I thought he had a solid game, Jan.
Yeah. Zach Merritt, you found votes for him, mate. And yeah, he led the club for the first time officially. And I thought he did a brilliant job at doing that. They put Finn McGuinness on him and really tried to stifle him. Made it really hard for him. But where Zach wasn't going to get beaten was on effort. And he just, the way that he had the ambition to tackle and then get straight back up and follow it up with another attempt. That turned it into a really good game for him because he ended up with 29 disposals.
Yeah, he just willed himself into the game, didn't he, James? Just as you say, like he wasn't going to be beaten. And one thing I found really impressive from him was, when he got knocked down, which he did on many occasions, he got straight back up. There was that play, I think it might have been in the third quarter, James, where he got knocked over and he got bounced straight back up to collect the footy off the deck when it had spilled out. And then that got us going forward again. And it's that kind of stuff that you just love to see. I mean, he was blowing a gale. It looked absolutely stuffed. And you can see how much impact the defensive pressure on him made. But, just looking at his disposal efficiency, 69%, which is just not like Zach Merritt at all. But that was a lot of affected, kicking and all the rest of it. But he's willed himself into the contest. And I thought it was, really impressive. From Zach Merritt to work through the tag and have an influence on the game.
Dylan Shield, mate, played game number 200, and I thought he was really good. He actually had purpose with his kicking. I think that's been a knock of his, where sometimes he gets the footy and you go, do you know what you actually want to do with the footy? He had real purpose every time he had the footy, and he's actually quite a long kick, so you can get it in forward. And he used the ball at 83% efficiency off his 23 disposals. So, I thought it was a really promising game from Dill. And he went down with what looked like a shoulder injury, mate. But fortunately, got back up and was back on the boundary and straight back into the game.
Which is really pleasing to see that he obviously given the okay that he's all good. It's funny, like I'm probably surprised that the disposal efficiency is so high for Dylan Shiel, and I wonder whether he's a beneficiary of I suppose the new structure in our forward line where we did seem to bomb it in down long a lot of the time, but we're structured up in such a way that we would either get it to ground or and have sort of small forwards buzzing around to be able to pick off that footy. He was able to make I suppose hit smart targets within his limitations. So I don't think he had a great game. I'd say solid. But certainly with his capabilities, I really hope he someone just gets that confidence into him because he's got the speed and the breakaway pace from a pack that no one can keep up with him in that respect, James. If he can start backing himself and start using that to get good momentum going forward, start kicking a few goals, that would just put him to the next level, I'd say.
Now Sam Wiedemann played his first game for the Bombers and kicked a couple of goals, mate. And look, he didn't have a whole heap of the footy, especially in the second half, kind of dropped out of the game a little bit in terms of disposals, but I thought he made a good good target for us, especially in the second term.
It did, mate. Yeah, sort of got us going when things are looking a bit grim. Yeah, got a couple of goals, could have been three. One thing I really liked about his game, he kept presenting, Jane. Only got the 3 marks, but just kept at it. And actually laid 4 tackles, which is pretty bloody good from a big man, and was able to, pinch hit in the ruck on occasion when the ball drifted down, which meant that, you then had either a Phillips or a Draper, being able to, impact up forward or, just a lot more options in our taller stocks. So it was great for him to get the monkey off the back that first game, kick a couple of goals, which is great, and hopefully that'll breed some more confidence in him. So I thought it was a good start for Sam Wiedemann.
Another new player to the Bombers, mate, Will Setterfield, ex-Bomber supporter too, mate, and one that we really thought about taking in pick one when we had Andy McGrath as our selection. In the end, we waited and we got him anyway. So is that like having two top number one picks,
Dodoro,
mate?
yeah,
If you ask
Dodoro
Adrian,
playing, yeah, Dodoro playing 4D chess, mate.
like Pokemon, he's gonna collect them all, but yeah, Will Setterfield had a great game. He had 25 disposals, 12 kicks, 13 handballs, 10 marks. Using his, the point of difference there is his height. 6 tackles, as you said, with your voting rate, and kicked the goal. So, yeah, a really good introduction to Sam Wiedemann. Sorry, Will Setterfield, sorry. And I think he's going to play a lot of footy with us.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, obviously, I found votes for him. Played a great game. So, well done, Will Setterfield.
Jordan Ridley, another one who found votes with both of us, mate. We've already kind of lauded his efforts, but yeah, he had 20 disposals, 16 kicks, 4 handballs, and a goal, and 8 marks. So, really good defensive game. And as always, his efficiency at 95%, mate. That's a, it just goes to show you what a smart footballer he is.
Yes, mate. Fantastic game from Rids, and it just goes to show like that he was unable to play that freely last year. Like he wasn't the Jordan Ridley we knew, to be quite frank. And just the way he was able to, dominate at stages of that game was a testament to, I suppose, his trust in the blokes behind him. Because if he would drift up forward and the Hawks, grab the footy. We had blokes like Laverty, like Kelly playing their role. Zerk Thatcher was fantastic for that. He's really freed up Ridley to be able to go up the ground and use his leg to best effect. So now that structure is so much better down there, and I suppose the defensive structure is more generally like for all 18 on the park at any one time. That doesn't allow those coast to coast goals we got. We've seen so much so often last year where, unfortunately, Ridley would either be one-on-one, with a bloke he's given up 30 centimetres to already, one-on-one just isn't general is I suppose one would, if you will. I think like great game from him individually, but it must be said that the structures that have well, at least played out on the weekend really helped him play his best game for the club.
Jaden Laverty, mate, that might be surprising. He took 14 marks, 22 disposals, 11 kicks, 11 handballs. Went at 86% efficiency, but even though he's a little bit undersized, he's a real key defender and he does really well with his strength. And, I feel really confident with him down back.
And he's another one like you send apologies too because of that sort of game. Like he was so solid, Jane. 14 marks is unheard of. And just just reliable all day. Easily could have got votes. Is what it is. Had the 7 score involvements as well. So not only did he defend the ball, but he sent it back with interest as well. So another fantastic game from Jaden Laverty.
We both gave those to Archie Perkins, mate. So probably not too much to say here, but 20 disposals, which is good for Archie. He played a lot forward too, so he's not relying on midfield to get his disposals. 17 kicks, so that's really pleasing too. If you have 20 disposals and you're still be able to kick the ball 17 times, which is a real strength of his, and to kick the 3 goals, 3 points, was pretty good. So really good game from Archie Birkin.
Yeah, absolutely, Jam. Yeah, 3 goals, 3, great reward for effort for the young bloke. And yeah, geez, an exciting prospect for the future, Jam. Yeah, just looking forward to more and more games from this young bloke.
And now Dyson Heppel was up against it to make the side, mate. As we know, he had a foot injury against the Gold Coast, and had missed the previous few weeks after that. I was able to make the side, and he had 16 disposals, 8 kicks, 8 handballs, 5 marks, 1 tackle, and 1 goal. So, his efficiency 56%, mate. So, look, I think Heppel, is going to be like a utility for us now. I don't think he'll play every week. I think he'll be serviceable in that. He's a real leader and will give us some direction on the ground.
Yeah, definitely. And you saw that, like, there was a real hard fought contest that he had to win in that third quarter, James, I think it was. And he just showed his I suppose his awareness of the game. To win that footy, I remember it was just outside of the Hawks 50, and there were three Hawks around him, and he had to get to that footy, and he launched himself at it. He couldn't get caught with it, so he had to keep it bobbling around, which he did, and he ended up getting the release handball out, which was just fantastic to see. And that led us, to release that ball and head up the ground towards our own 50. And it's that kind of desperation, his willingness to impose himself in a contest. That's the stuff that you kind of, you want to show the younger players. Like, he was out, I suppose, in terms of speed, he's not the fastest bloke going around. In terms of strength, like, there were stronger blokes out there than him, but he had to will himself on that contest. So that's the kind of stuff that he shows the younger players through those on-field efforts. Yes, his disposal efficiency wasn't fantastic, but he earned, 7 of his disposals contested, James. And I think, like, now that he's got the captaincy off his back, more or less, that should free him up to be able to, do a few more things, like get around to players, and not feel like if he drops a mark or something like that, he's letting down the whole team. I thought, yeah, wasn't his best game, but what he did, he did well.
Sammy Durham, a good, he's a real battler out there, mate. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just love the way he goes about his footy. There was a passage of play, I think it was early in the game, where he just been out of traffic, mate. And geez, that looked like a leap, the way he did that and burst from the pack. So he's got some real tricks, and we know Brad Scott really rates him as one of his favourites. 19 disposals on the wing, 6 marks, 3 tackles, and kicked the goal as well. And used the ball at 90%. So I really reckon that's one of his better games for the club.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. No, played really well and consistently across all 4 quarters. 9 score involvements, 10 contested possessions. Just works his absolute backside off to win the footy for us. And he's actually looked a lot stronger in his tackling ability, James. I think that needs to be acknowledged as well. Like, that was a knock on his game previously. Well done to Sammy Durham.
You're right, mate, because it was. He used to just stick the arm out, and now he's really holding the tackle. So, really good for him. Harry Jones, what I liked about Harry's game about being dominant, last year, especially when he did play, obviously, he's on the back of some injuries. He had so many games where he's under 5 possessions the game. I just felt he let up a lot harder at the footy, and
Mm.
he racked up 12 disposals in the end, which is quite high for Harry. And he was able to kick a goal. And I think with Peter Wright being out injured for most of the year, this is going to be a big year for Harry to, we're going to put a lot more responsibility on him. So he won't be able to hide in the background and have those five disposal games. We're going to need him to really, get educated on how to lead up and, kick the ball up forward to Wiedemann and vice versa. So, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good game from Harry. Look, he did look a little bit underdone, and I can understand why the sub was made because he looked a little bit out on his feet. But I thought it was a pretty good game overall.
Yeah, it was Jamie. He was solid. Showed good game awareness. His leading patterns looked a lot better than what they had been previously, Jamie. Like previously, we'd seen him sort of go into the same patterns as Peter Wright or anyone else that was out there. But now he was finding his own footy and making sure to get them in a good space. Like we saw that good hands off to Menzies to get his first goal, Jane. Just a example of that. Actually had the five contested possessions as well, which is great to see. A solid game from Harrison Jones and good to see him finding a little bit of form out there.
Mason Redmond, we've both sung his praises. 24 disposals, 22 kicks, mate. And that, again, that's using your strengths. You don't want him just to be handballing the footy around. Use your strength of, that kicking and, using the ball at nearly 80%. When you kick the ball 22 times, just goes to show, how good you are with the ball in hand.
Fantastic game from Redders. Nice couple of goals. Really energized the boys out there. I thought it was great defensive effort and offensive intent as well. Like really got us going. So great game from Redmond.
Yeah, I thought this bloke had his best game for the club. I thought Jake Kelly played really good game. Look, he's not there for his disposals. He had 16, 8 and 8 and had five marks, one tackle, but he played within his limitations and used the ball at 94%, mate. So I just thought it was a really good game from him and it made it really tough for the Hawks going forward.
He did, mate. Like there are, I mean, like he's the kind of player, I suppose historically we've seen slow down with the footy and not always make the best decisions. So I did have my heart in my mouth on a couple of occasions he had the footy, but as you say, he seems to have really worked on that. And the work that I've done over the off season, not only work on his disposal, but his decision making seemed to have played great dividends because we didn't see him slow down the play all that often. And there was one moment, James, where he got the intercept possession off the half back and then saw someone up the field and launched a massive kick to their advantage, which basically broke the defense of Hawthorn, which was absolutely fantastic. I just remember seeing that and going, what a bloody hit. That was a great kick. So when you're seeing blokes like Jake Kelly pull those off, things are going pretty well. But I guess it wasn't his kicking, as you say, that was a standout of the game. It was defensive efforts. And he was just so assured down there. I mean, yes, it's against Hawthorn and he's going to come up against plenty tougher opposition than that. But you can only play the opposition that's out there. And I thought he played a solid game for us.
Yep, Brandon Turk, that's Joe. Again, another one who played a really good game. 19 disposals, 12 kicks, 7 handballs, 8 marks. Look, he still went at 74%, which is pretty good for Zerk. He plays within his limitations generally. Early, I think he tried a few more things that probably didn't come off, but I mean, the way that he worked through the game and was just a constant. Presence down back. He's going to be a really important player for us this year.
Absolutely, James. He's definitely one early. I'm like, Jesus, like he made me nervous when he got the footy, but as the game wore on, he was very, very reliable down there. And that is something that I remember talking about last year, James, that really impressed me about Zerk Thatcher. Like, he had a couple of big clangers, but he didn't drop his head, James. And that's what we saw in this game. Like, it would have been very easy for him to go, oh, geez, I stuffed a couple up there. But he kept at it. And the more he played, he just like played himself into the position, to the point where at the end, you're like, yeah, geez, he was good down there. Like, 12 intercept possessions, which is huge. 10 contested as well. So he fights bloody hard for the footy, James. Yeah, as you say, the 8 marks was great. Yes, still needs to work on his disposal and decision making, but yeah, playing a very, very serviceable role down back.
Elwyn Davey Jr. made his debut, mate, and we had the highlight. He had a couple of real highlights, mate, that would have looked awesome. There's one where he could have ran the ball in, mate. He ended up kicking out on the full, but that run was just electric. And as he gets more and more games into him, he'll take them on and run it into the goal line, mate, and make a certainty of that. But that goal that he kicked, almost on 50-meter line, it was just a fantastic kick. And we're told that, this is just a glimpse of what we can expect in the future. He's going to be, an A grader.
Yeah, like, he was super impressive, James. Like, and it was, so often we'd see, glimpses here and there from players where they can look classy for a minute, and then you just won't see him for the rest of the game. But he was one where, like, he was threatening early and throughout the whole game, James. Like, he was in and around the contest. Only racked up the 9 disposals in the end and had the 3 shots on goal. Only kicked the one, unfortunately. But as you say, James, as he plays more games, gets more confidence that no, I'm at this level. He'll slot those, no doubt in my mind. Like, because as you say, James, that one where he's running into goal, he could have run it straight to the goal line. No one was going to catch him. But your first game, of course, you're thinking, geez, it's a bit faster pace. Will they catch me or whatever? And yeah, he got the yips on that occasion, but. Yeah, from a first gamer, I thought he was really impressive. Almost got a could have got a vote from me, because I just thought, as laid a few tackles and didn't look overawed out there, James. I thought he played quite well, and really looking forward to what this bloke can bring for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it brought back memories of me watching his dad play, because every time the ball was in the area, you just saw this vision of a Davey chasing hard and made the opposition nervous, mate. And he might have only had 3 tackles, but I think the reason why he didn't have more is because the Hawks were so quick to get the ball out of their hands because they didn't want to be tackled. And turn the ball over. So that perceived pressure can be just as important as the tackle itself.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Look, Andrew Phillips, he was in there for a role, mate. And look, if you look at his stats, only 4 disposals, 3 kicks, 1 handball, 1 mark, 1 tackle. You probably think, oh, like, there's someone that's on the periphery of the side that could maybe be spared, but what he did was made Draper able to play forward at times. Draper got a couple of goals, if your main ruckman's getting a couple of goals, that they generally need support. And we're able to keep Wiedemann down forward, Draper down forward, mainly because when they needed a breather, Phillips could stay in the ruck.
Yeah, that's exactly it, James. And not only that, like, he'd float down forward and create a contest for the footy, and that's where, like, he doesn't need to. I mean, we'd love him to take the mark, kick the goal, but he doesn't need to. He just needs to make the contest, have that ball, make it to ground. His value to the side, but the structure it allowed, because obviously with Peter Wright going out, for majority of the season, we needed someone of size to give us a structure that we've been working on throughout the preseason. and he presented his physicality as yeah, it's a big plus. I suppose his Voyage of Sight talks a lot more to, I suppose, the structure it allows than the stats shows in the spreadsheet. So yeah, look, not his best game, but yeah, certainly for the role he allowed, it was serviceable to the side.
Yeah, now Nick Martin, a bit different from his round one game last year, mate. Didn't kick a goal. Had five, if you remember, on debut. But he was still very good, I thought. He had the 21 disposals. Yeah, he kicks the ball so well, mate. He's a real bonus to us. And yeah, I think he's going to give us a lot of highlights this year. And he's just a real, like, he's a wiry kind of player, but there's a bit of toughness there too. Like, he stays in the contest. He's not spooked by it, and uses the ball pretty well.
Yeah, he did, mate. While he didn't kick a goal himself, three goal assists, which is great stuff from him. About 400 meters gained. So his ball use, Jane, was pretty bang on. To get the ball inside 50 for us 8 times. So he's playing his role as that winger, like to drag the ball from one end of the ground into the other, was excellent. And out of those 8 inside 50s, 7 scoring involvements, which is great stuff. Look, he wasn't as impactful as he has been on some games, but what I really liked about him was he stayed involved in the game. He's obviously worked a lot in the gym, because while he still has that sort of wiry kind of frame, as you say, James, he stood up a lot stronger in tackles and was able to get handballs out where, last year I would have said he probably would have coughed it up. But I thought he played a solid game for us, which is great to see.
Now, Anthony McDonald, what do you mate? You must have loved the appearance of the great man, and you're able to kick a goal and give us that highlight that we'll keep for a long time. And really love watching you be out in the ground and seeing you happy. And look, not trying to be political, but people say about racism and so forth, but look at the love that a whole club has for one individual. You know what I mean? Like that's just for everyone who says, like, you can't have a voice, when you see people like Adam Goods and so forth. But then you see the love that someone like Anthony McDonald, Chippen Woody gets. It makes me proud as a Bomber supporter to see how embracing we were of him and his efforts and of his battles, mate. He's had battles, and he's been able to come to a place where he's loved, and we made him feel that way.
He's a fantastic story, and to see him be able to come back, to fight some pretty tough mental demons, you have to say, James. And obviously his mum would have been pretty happy to see the comeback, James, after getting a caravan from his efforts. as you say, James, he is the type of bloke that sort of transcends footy. Because he, his story, a lot of people can identify with. People who felt like, they didn't have a lot of opportunities. They found something, and someone showed some trust and belief in them. For him originally it was his mum, and then the club that he loved, and then the AFL world, not just Essendon fans, but the AFL world more broadly has just embraced this bloke, who he is, his beautiful smile that you see out on the ground, and to see him come back on after almost a couple of years out of footy, we thought we might have lost him from the game, James. And yes, he's still got a long way to go to get back to where everyone wants him to be, but just to see him take the park again, and to see that. Yes, he's got a bit of work to do in his fitness, but his touch certainly hasn't gone away. Kicked a beautiful goal, took a nice mark soon after, was able to spot up Menzies, to allow him to have his second goal. I thought it was just outstanding. So no, an excellent story, and as you say, James, a memory that us Bomber fans especially will treasure.
Yeah, for sure. And lastly, mate, Jai Menzies. As we know, we picked him up in the mid-season draft last year. He earned that contract. And he actually laid a number of tackles, and he's gonna be a real asset for us. Kick a couple of goals. That's all you can ask of your small forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I think this bloke really shows something. Like, yes, didn't have a heap of footy, but still 12 disposals. Not bad for a small forward. Led up for the footy, so took six marks, which was pretty decent. Of the six scoring involvements as well. A couple of contested possessions. I reckon there's a real player there in Jai Menzies. So, I'm looking forward to him getting a bit more opportunity, and really, he's another one who would really benefit from a string of games, so he can start to try and cement himself and start to get that belief that he belongs at AFL level. Because once that is there, I reckon he can, can raise to even higher levels. So I really see a player in this bloke, and it's good to see him get a good reward with a couple of goals on the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen some of his highlight tapes, mate, from the sample and so forth, but he's got some tricks. And he's going to get more and more comfortable at senior level and start showing them, I think. So a real plus for us. Well, mate, we got through all the players. I guess our next game is against the Suns, at home. On the back of that, you'd expect a few more Bomber fans to come out than that what would have turned out previously to this game against the Hawks, because I think that would have got some people's excitement up. And I'm expecting a pretty strong Bomber crowd for our first home game. Let's hope we can continue it on and hold on to top spot, mate.
That's it. I can only hope, right?
Thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, go Bombers.
Go Dons.